On the forest paths. Cha. Also. Mugdabhavena. By the childish behavior of the deer. Tatra, tatra. Here and there. Vishoktamati. Whose mind was too much attracted. Pranaya. With love. Vara. Loaded. Hridayaha. Whose heart. Karpanyat. Because of affection and love. Skandhena. By the shoulder. Udvahati. Carries. Evam. In this way. Utsange. Sometimes on the lap. Uratsi, on the chest while sleeping. Cha, also. Uthoya, keeping. Upalailayan, fondling. Mudam, pleasure. Paramam, very great. Avapa, He felt. So translation, when entering the forest, the animal would appear very attractive to Maharaj Bharata due to its childish behavior. Maharaj Bharata would even take the deer on his shoulders and carry it due to affection. His heart was so filled with great love for the deer that he would sometimes keep it on his lap or, when sleeping, on his chest. It's hard to sleep with a deer on your chest. In this way, he felt great pleasure in fondling the animal. So purport. Actually, no, we can repeat. When entering the forest, the animal would appear very attractive, to Maharaj Bharata due to its childish behavior. Maharaj Bharata would even take the deer on his shoulders. And carry it due to affection. His heart was so filled with great love for the deer. That he would sometimes keep it on his lap. Or when sleeping. On his chest. In this way he felt great pleasure. In fondling the animal. So purport, by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaj Bharata left his home, wife, children, kingdom, and everything else to advance his spiritual life in the forest. But again, he fell victim to material affection due to his attachment to an insignificant pet deer. What then was the use of his renouncing his family? One who is serious in advancing his spiritual life should be very cautious not to become overly attached to anything but Krishna. Sometimes in order to preach, we have to accept many material activities, but we should remember that everything is for Krishna. If we remember this, there is no chance of our being victimized by material activities. So Om Gana Timbirandasha Gananjanal Shilakya Chachura Miritam Gena Tismai Shri Gurave Namaha. So there's basically two points being made by Srila Prabhupada and also in the translation here. The first point is that, you know, what is the use of renouncing everything, you know, becoming a sannyasi, if you still have attachments? That's the first point. And the second point is that if we actually want to become renounced from this material world, we have to be absorbed in Krishna. So we're going to talk about these two points. So as far as the first point is concerned, We can refer to the eighth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the story, it is technically called Gajendra Mokshana. Gajendra, of course, is the elephant. And he was previously King Indradunya in his last life, or one of his past lives. And he had offended a sage, and the sage had cursed him, "You're as dumb as an elephant, you know, so act like, become an elephant." Anyway, so he became an elephant, and then there was the crocodile, who was King Huhu in his last life also, that offended the sage. You got to be careful. You got to be careful about offending sages. You may become a crocodile or an elephant in your next life. That's funny. So many stories in the Bhagavatam and in the Mahabharata of people getting cursed and having to suffer because they made some, you know, just some little mistake. I mean, you have that King Riga, who wasn't even his fault. He gave away the same cow twice. What happened is he gave a cow to a Brahmin, you know, millions of cows. And then what happened is that cow wandered back into his herd and he gave it away to another Brahmin. It wasn't even his fault. The cow's fault. It was the cow's fault. The cow should have gotten cursed. So anyway, I mean, come on. I mean, it's not his fault. And so he just made some, you know, little mistake, which wasn't his fault at all. And because those two Brahmins were arguing over who the cow belonged to, and finally understood that King Mriga had given them both the same cow, then King Mriga had to take birth as a lizard in his last life. Very dangerous, isn't it? When you're around sages, especially around, you know, Durvasa Muni. Of course, Durvasa you can get benedicted by too. Anyway, there's so many stories. So anyway, getting back to the story of Gajendra. So Gajendra was an elephant, and he was bathing in the celestial Ganges with all his female elephants. It's actually quite interesting. In the animal species, many of the animal species, you have one dominant male who has like a whole troop of ladies. Those are like the monkeys. They're like that too. There's one dominant monkey, gorilla, whatever, and he has a whole troop of ladies. And what happens is, because he's stronger than the other ones, what happens is when his children grow up, they challenge the father and they take over the harem. Isn't it interesting? How interesting the animals are like that. So there's male dominance. And even amongst human beings, of course, you don't see people with harems so much anymore. I guess Krishna had a harem, 16,108 wives in his harem. So, but even amongst humans, you have like dominant males and things like that. So, basically, this Gajendra, he was bathing with his whole troop of beautiful female elephants. It's also interesting that whatever species you are, you become attracted to other, you know, either males or females within that same species. Even though people from other species or entities from other species would not be attracted to that same species, you know. It's like if somehow or other I bring in a beautiful female cat or something like, or a dog, it's not that you're going to just be like fainting in ecstasy. But if I bring in Madonna, who happens to be the same species, because she's kind of ugly. Oh, forgive me. So if I bring in someone, you know, anyway, some Bollywood star, we won't mention any names, then all the men, they'll basically sit up straight, breathe. you can see it by body language. Exactly. It's interesting, you know, sometimes I observe people, their body language. And, you know, a beautiful girl comes in and... Previously, the guy is sitting in Bhagavatam class like that. And then all of a sudden his posture becomes improved 1,000%. His back straightens up, you know, even if he has like a curved spine, it becomes straight. That's better than going to a chiropractor for men. That ought to straighten up men's curved spines. Just bring a beautiful woman in the room. That's a good one. So he was very attracted to his whole herd. of female elephants and children, you know, because each of the female elephants, they had little baby elephants. Actually, they are cute, the elephants, the little babies. Practically, babies in every species are cute. It's just entities lose their cuteness as they get older. Isn't it? I mean, when you're real young, well, practically every little entity is... You know, you pull on their cheek and you say, oh, how cute you are. And you smell their hair. But, you know, when you get to be 50, nobody does it to you anymore. Isn't it? Nobody's put me on their lap in the last, 60 years. I'm missing it. Anyway, I have to take birth again to have that. To have that sort of affectionate relationship. So, with a maternal affectionate relationship with mother. So, anyway, so he was bathing, and then what happened is that he got attacked by this crocodile. And the crocodile was pulling him deeper and deeper in the water. And he was winning the fight. And then this king, because he had this jatismarana, he was able to remember his past life. That's interesting, because if you're a very advanced devotee, it's also the case with Bharat Maharaj, if you're a very advanced devotee, even if you take birth as an animal, somehow or other you have this sort of ability to remember your past life. It's a special benediction of the Lord. So he's able to remember the prayers from his past life as King Indrajunya. And then he began to chant those prayers and with devotion, because it's easy to have devotion when you're being attacked. Like Krishna says in the Gita that, you know, four types of people approach me, and one of those types is those who are in distress. So he was definitely in distress. What do they say? There's no atheist like in the trench in the battlefield. You know, when the bullets are flying overhead, you know, you don't start talking about atheistic philosophy. You don't say, I don't believe in God. You know, the bombs. You say, God, help me. You know, you want to, even if you don't believe in, you want to hedge your bets. Just in case there is a God, you know. There's no atheists in the trenches. So he had devotion. Of course, that devotion was, we don't want to say it was pure, because it was based on a desire, basically a liberation from the situation. But still, Krishna was attracted by that devotion. And Krishna appeared. This is one of the scheduled incarnations of the Lord. The Lord appeared. It's mentioned in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. That the Lord, there's a whole list of scheduled, actually in the first canto and in the second canto, there's a list of incarnations. And in the first canto, of course, you have that famous verse at the end of the list of incarnations, Ete Changsa Kalakpumsa Krishna Stu Bhagavan Sayam, that Krishna is the source of all the incarnations. And in the second canto, you don't have that specific indication, but after Krishna's incarnation is described, there's like 10 verses describing the different aspects of Krishna's incarnation, whereas every other incarnation or every other appearance only gets one verse in the second canto. So this is a scheduled incarnation. The incarnation occurred and basically chopped off the crocodile's mouth. The king, he was saved. He was saved from that particular situation. So Prabhupada talks about, the reason I'm telling that story is in the purport, Prabhupada said that one should fight Maya, you don't want to really say, I challenge you, Maya. But actually, Prabhupada said that taking sannyas is actually a declaration of war on Maya. Of course, you want to make peace with her. Declaration of war, it's not that you just say, you know, Maya, put up your dukes. As the fighters say, dukes means your fist. For those of you who don't know that 1960 nomenclature. You don't exactly do that. You become absorbed in Krishna, and then you can actually deal with Maya. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoyandakar. Krishna is the sun. Maya is like the absence of light or the darkness. So Prabhupada says that one should fight Maya from a situation where they're strongest. And Prabhupada equated that to the situation where some people are strongest in household life and some people are strongest in the renounced order of life. I mean, for everybody, there's a natural position dependent upon, at least externally, their psychophysical nature. We're all different. In other words, we're all different. We all have different natures. And so, Prabhupada said, you know, in that regard, even when there were sannyasis who couldn't make it, he said that they should keep fighting Maya from whatever situation they're in. So the point is that we should be in a situation that can proceed and continue executing our Krishna consciousness year after year. And sometimes people write to me, you know, they're very enthusiastic young people. They write to me, I got one letter the other day that, this girl has approached me with a proposal for marriage. Nowadays, the girls approach the men. In the old days, the men used to get down on their hands and knees and beg. You know, can you still hear? I can speak louder. Because it'll get cold if you turn it off.
I can put it on
low. Low, it's the same. It sounds exactly the same. It's going to... All right. It's all right. Let's see if it gets cold.
Yeah.
What?
What?
Oh, turn off by itself. Okay. So, see, you have magic. So anyway, someone, people write to me all the time, and they're, you know, enthusiastic brahmacharis, and they say, well, this woman proposed to me. She got down on her hands and knees, or something like that. She said, I'm dependent upon you. I mean, that's one of the typical things. Without you, I cannot live. And so the man feels like, well, she can't live without me. Anyway, she was living before. I mean, usually people don't die out of separation, except for pure devotees, separation from Krishna. So, and he says, but I'm enjoying so much being a brahmachari, but I can't keep my mind off of her. You know, so I get both of these things. You know, I want the freedom of being a brahmachari. You know, this it appears to be a little conflict. In conflict language, it's approach avoidance or whatever, approach. Whatever it is. So anyway, so he said, and then, but basically my advice is to that particular individual, those individuals, think of the long term in your Krishna consciousness, you know, like project yourself into the future. It's very hard for a young person to project themselves in the future. You know, one day you're going to have an old body. It's going to creak a little bit, you know, like an old haunted house, you know, where you open the door and the door goes, so I tell you, one day your body's going to do that. And you have, you know, you have these needs, you know, emotional needs and comfort needs and all those other things. And, you know, you really like to eat opulent food. Well, it's not always that you can go to a Hare Krishna temple and eat your pakoras every day. So if you want to eat opulent food, you got to have a cook. And, you know, so I'm explaining all these different needs that someone has long term. And when you're young, you may not be aware of the need so much. You can just go, joy, joy, honeyball, honeyball. And then when you're about 80, it may hit you. So, the soft mattress like Aranyakashipu and all these other things. So I explained that. You know, I said, project yourself into the future and see, you know, 30 years or 20 years, even 10 years from now, you know, what, and you really have to encourage someone to project, because it's real hard for a young person to think of the future, because for them, everything is always the same. You know, you never get old, Peter Pan philosophy. You know, Peter Pan, you never get old, never get old, never, never land. So, yeah, so one day, I said, you're going to look like me. Maybe not with the same big nose, but anyway, so, but at least, you know, you have wrinkles and everything like that, and at that point, probably no one will marry you. Of course, when you get older, there's more women than men, so you can definitely find a, you know, women have a higher life expectancy than men do. So, no, but I explained that to them. And then they're able to make a decision in their life. You know, what can you fight? How can you continue executing? Let's talk. Forget about the word fighting Maya. How can you continue executing your bhakti, you know, your sadhana, year after year after year? I mean, what do you need? I mean, we all have different necessities. And most of the times they get it. They say, yeah, you're right. Okay, you're invited to the marriage. Can you do the marriage ceremony for me? You know, so you get that sort of response from them. So that's the first point, that one should be in a situation. I mean, it not only refers to marriage or, you know, the ashram, it also refers to what material facilities you need. You know, everybody needs a different amount of material facilities depending on the body, too. Even a sannyasi, you know, some sannyasis, they may be able to sleep on a straw mat in the middle of the forest surrounded by lions and tigers, where others may need, you know, a little cushioned mat. They shouldn't be like that story, The Princess and the Pea. You know that story? No. There was once a sannyasi, I'll change it to a sannyasi story, who he was so attached to having a nice soft bed, they made him like 20 mattresses on top of each other. And he couldn't, he still couldn't sleep because underneath all those mattresses there was a little pea, a chickpea. So we shouldn't be like that either. I mean, that's a little bit too much. But everyone needs a different amount of facility, even material facility. So whatever that facility is, whether it happens to be ashram, whether it has to be, you know, some bodily comfort facility, I mean, some people may be disabled. They may need other things, you know, more than other people. Just because they're physically disabled. You know, I have one godbrother who lost a leg in Mayapur because there was a bombing there many, many years ago. So people need different facilities. So whatever facility you need, but not more than that. If you accept more than that, of course, that's the Isopanishad. Everybody has a quota. Ishavashamidam sarvam yad kinja jagajan jagat. That everything is owned and controlled by the Lord and everybody has a quota. And if you accept more than that, then you become entangled in the material energy. Or you sleep too little, you won't be stable, you'll always be falling asleep while you're driving like we were when we first joined the Hare Krishna movement, taking naps at the stoplights. Or if you sleep too much, you know, you'll just be in ignorance. Everybody's different. I mean, you can't really apply one standard for everybody. And that was the problem we did in the beginning of the movement, that, you know, you have this statement from Prabhupada that if anybody who sleeps more than 6 hours at night is in the mode of ignorance. So the devotees, even though many of us, including myself, needed more than that, it was, you know, being Krishna conscious like was being like a zombie, you know, walking around like in a, you know, and as soon as you sat down, you went to sleep. As soon as you, even I saw devotees, as soon as they sat down to eat prasadam, their face fell on the food. I saw that happen. It's not just making that up. You know, and people had car accidents. You know, a lot of devotees died. And then Prabhupada made another statement, that if you have to drive a car, you know, long distances, then you should be sleeping 8 hours a day. So then you have these apparently contradictory instructions, which are not actually contradictory. So everyone's different. You know, you may need 3 hours of sleep a night. And then you can chant 64 rounds every day. And, you know, I may need 7 hours or 8 hours or whatever it is. But, you know, everybody has to understand their quota. And then you can, then you could be comfortable year after year after year executing Krishna. So everybody should do this exercise in their minds. What situation do I need? Or what material facilities do I need to be able to continue? So here was Bart Maharaj, getting back to the story. And then, you know, what was the use of his renouncing his family if he was going to become attached to a deer? I mean, at least, you know, if he was attached to his family, that's dharmic. You know, that can be engaged in Krishna consciousness. But attachment to a deer is not something you can really engage in Krishna consciousness. I mean, over-attachment. It's not something that's engageable. There's, you know, the varnashram dharma means to engage yourself in Krishna's service according to your ashram. That's all. And varna, too, of course. So, you know, there's different things you can engage. Like if you're an electrician, you could fix Krishna's temple. You can help make Krishna's temple. I mean, that's shudra work, but you can engage it in Krishna's service. And if you like counting money, then you can be a vaisya, a bookkeeper or something. No, a bookkeeper's not vaisya. Or if you like cow protection. Or if you like philosophy, then you'll be a Brahmin. So in other words, you know, whatever can engage you fully in the Lord's service, that's the important thing. Okay. And remain in that situation and don't become artificially renounced from it. You know, if you not only the ashrams, the varnas. Like if you really like doing something, then do it for Krishna in whatever ashram you're in. I mean, if it happens to be in accordance with the rules and regulations of the ashram. So that's the first point. Don't artificially renounce things because like Prabhupada said one time, and jokingly he said, it's better to remain single, but if you're going to become a single daddy, then you should get married. That was Prabhupada saying that. So that's the first point here in the purport. The second point Prabhupada makes, one who is serious about advancing the spiritual life should be very cautious not to become attached to anything but Krishna. So then how do we become attached like that to Krishna? And that's, Prabhupada actually gives us a hint in the beginning of the Krishna book where he talks about all of us having what's called the loving propensity. And we can choose the object of that loving propensity. I mean, we have a need to love and we have a need to be loved. There's nothing wrong with that. So if you focus on Krishna, Prabhupada specifically made this point, that loving propensity can go on forever. I mean, it can increase exponentially, you know, to the millionth power. But as you focus on something in this world, it just like, it stops in a certain place. And then you just like become bored with it. Right? I mean, for example, sometimes I try to focus my loving propensity on computers. And then we get a new computer, like something like that. Some really fancy new computer. It's just like we're all excited. It's called Ultrabook. Ultra. You know, the latest computers, they're Ultrabook. That means very thin and designed nicely. You know, they when you open them up, they're on instantaneously. Isn't that cool? Mm-hmm. Usually when you boot a computer up, you have to wait. But these, you go, whoop, wow. It's fantastic. So then, you know, you get it, and you open it up. Even on the internet, they have these videos called unboxing videos. Anyone see them? They call it unboxing. You know, see your iPhone 5 unbox, or your this computer or that computer. You know, so the excitement. You tear apart the box. You don't even wait to get a scissors. You just, I don't know. You just even take your keys or just your fingernails. And sometimes you even cut yourself, you get a paper cut. Anyone experience that? I'm sure you all enjoy it. You know, the excitement. It's called neuphoria. It's actually a word that's just been invented. Neuphoria. So you open up. Pew! And you put the batteries in, you charge it, and turn it on. Wow. You know, so then, but after, you know, 2 days with it, it just becomes part of your, you know, part of your normal paraphernalia. You no longer, it's no longer gives you excitement. It causes your heart rate to increase to 150 beats a second. Then you have to look for something new. So that's like Prabhupada said, you give your loving your propensity. And you see that sometimes even people who are not ready to have deities at home, they get deities and they're all excited. Oh, Gordatai, or, you know, Shalagram Shila, Govardhan Shila. And they get it, and then what happens? They neglect. I've seen that time and time again. You know, there's a proliferation of deities, not in temples too, you know. Some temples in North America, there's more deities than devotees. So the deities have to get off the altar to start cooking for the devotees. Who's cooking this morning? Oh, the deities. You know, Radharani, she's the best cook, so she should cook breakfast. I'm just joking about that. So there's that, you know, so even people do that with deities, you know, it's just like the enjoying spirit. And then I see that all the time. You even see a lot of disciples, they get these Shalagram Shilas without asking me permission first, which is, you know, normal lack of etiquette procedure. And then if I say, you know, it's not a good idea, then I say, Gurudev, I have to look for a Shiksha Guru. It's not like a second opinion, you know. It's just like, huh? Now what's the use of being a guru if nobody listens to you? So, I need a new job. So, but then they get tired of it, and they neglected it, the deities. And then next thing you see is on eBay, you know, you look on eBay and you see so many Shalagram Shilas for sale. True. It's true. I mean, we even have one of our congregation members, you know, he's not even initiated, it's Keith. He buys Shalagram Shilas on eBay. You know, or what to speak of deities, you know, neglect the deities. And then they end up giving them to other devotees. And then people say with the Shalagram Shilas, they say, oh, he wanted to come to you. But actually, it's not that he wanted to come to you. It's that I don't want him anymore because he's not giving me that excitement. So, you know, one has to understand how advanced they are in spiritual life, because to actually maintain one's enthusiasm for deity worship requires someone who's advanced. You know, it's one thing to open a temple. It's another thing to maintain a temple. There's two different categories. I mean, just like you have in the universe, you have Lord Brahma, who creates things, and Lord Vishnu, who maintains things. So you have to have some mode of goodness, so your enthusiasm is there. So basically, Prabhupada said, if we focus on Krishna, give our loving propensity to Krishna, then our loving propensity can expand unlimitedly. He said, like shining a light out into space, rather than a box. In a box, it just like goes. The box, it stays in the box. When you shine it in space, it goes out forever, especially a laser beam. Because Prabhupada didn't know about laser beams. But you shine it, so that's like it just expands. And that really impressed me in the beginning. It's in there in Krishna book. That you just like love Krishna. So the way to do that, this is we should be very cautious not to become attached to anything. So we should try to give. So how do you give your love to Krishna? You hear about Krishna. I mean, it's easy. Krishna is lovable. You know, just like you hear about some Bollywood actress, or you hear about some Hollywood, or you know, movie, or rock and roll star, or somebody, you know. And then you just like meditate and you try to give your love. Like so many people, they love Michael Jackson, isn't it? So many people love the Beatles. I mean, they were screaming. They were exhibiting symptoms of Baba when they saw the Beatles. If you look at the films from the 1960s, there's these girls like at 18, 19 years old, just, ah! Ringo! George! Paul! And they even got Beatle deities that they had in their homes. You know, little they even had the ones with the shaking heads on them. I don't know if you've ever seen those.
Yeah.
With the springs on the heads. So, that's Baba, you know, material Baba, Baba rogue, you know, disease Baba. So if we hear about Krishna from the right person, and the right aspects of Krishna, while we're not prematurely hearing about things we're not ready to hear about. I mean, now there's a proliferation of like really advanced literature the devotees are reading, like Ujjala Neelamani and other books that are just way above most devotees' ability to understand what to speak of, appreciate. But, you know, according to our standing in devotional service, then we just give our heart, and we chanting, we give our heart while chanting. And then absolute renunciation comes from this material world. It takes time, but absolute renunciation. And one example of that absolute renunciation is very interesting. It's about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Those of you who are married, don't follow this example. But Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur was so absorbed in Krishna Katha that he was in Vrindavan. Originally he was from Bengal. But he was from Vrindavan, and he was married. And his guru said to him, now you're a householder, go back and, you know, be with your wife. And he said, of course, being an obedient disciple, he said, yes, Gurudev. So he went back to home, and yeah, there was him and his wife, and they were there at night, and he just recited the Bhagavatam all night. And next morning went back to Vrindavan. So, because he was so absorbed in Krishna, there was no inclination for anything else. I mean, that's a very high platform of devotional service. But the main point is, not that we should imitate that, the main point is we should take this same propensity we're focusing on matter and things of this world and mundane relationships and put it on Krishna. And that was brought out in the story of Bilva Mangal Thakur, how even Chintamani told him that if you had so much devotion, enthusiasm for Krishna as you do for me, you'd be a pure devotee by now. Also, that was brought out in Tulsidas's story. It was a very similar story. Tulsidas, who was the author of the Ramacharitamanasas, you know, the Hindi version of the Ramayana, his emotional understanding of the Ramayana. Tulsidas was a cloth merchant because he had inherited the cloth store from his father-in-law. And so, but he was so much attached to his wife that every time someone would come into the store and pick a piece of cloth out, you know, this is beautiful, I want this, he would say, oh, it's not for sale. Because he thought, if it's so nice that they want to buy it, my wife should have it. Can you imagine that? What sort of salesman would that person be? Certainly wouldn't be the same heritage that I come from. So his wife, she didn't really appreciate those sentiments. Because he didn't have any money to maintain the family. Can you imagine, you know, running an auto dealership, and every time someone wants to buy a BMW, you think, well, my wife should have it. And so he ends up with a whole stable of BMWs at your house and no money to pay for the BMWs. So She said to him, if you had, same thing, if you had as much devotion for Krishna, then, or Lord Ram at that particular juncture, then you'd be a pure devotee of Lord Ram. And then, but he took it a little bit differently than Bilba Mangal Thakur. Bilba Mangal Thakur glorified Chintamani, but Tulsi Das became bitter towards his wife. And he had a negative attitude towards women after that. And he writes that, some of his negative attitudes towards women. I'm not going to mention what he said, but it's not so nice. So, that is the point, that whatever devotion we have to something material, whether it be your computer or whether it be our car, all these things are like polishing the birdcage instead of taking care of the bird inside. Whatever, we could just take that and refocus it, that's all. That's it, refocus it. I mean, if you find yourself watching Bollywood films, just watch films about Krishna, read about Krishna, hear about Krishna. I mean, I know when I hear, every day I'm listening a lot to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita and other literature while I'm doing other things, like my deity worship, then my attraction for Krishna, I want to be Krishna conscious, my enthusiasm to be Krishna conscious increases. So it's all based on hearing and focusing ourselves on Krishna as the ultimate love of all. So, no time for questions. Okay. I guess on that happy note, that's a long one. On that happy note, Krishna is going to appear.